Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, for the last several broadcasts, we've been talking about the gospel which establishes Christians. Paul puts it this way in Romans 16:25, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." And I have suggested that what Paul means by that is that we are established by the full-orbed gospel revealed in the book of Romans. That's why he calls it my gospel at the end of his epistle. And that includes a lot of doctrines that God's people sometimes are not completely clear about or fully committed to, and therefore we need to come to terms with these because this is the gospel that establishes us. And until we come to understand these truths, we're not going to get very firmly established. So for that reason, we've been talking about some of these more difficult doctrines, and most lately, the last few broadcasts, we've been talking about the doctrine of election. Unconditional election, which is simply to say that God the Father chose a particular people from the mass of humanity and gave them to his Son in eternity past. And that this choice made by the Father is unconditional, that is, it is not conditioned upon anything within man. It is not conditioned upon any merit within man. It is not conditioned upon foreseen faith that God detected in man. It is unconditional election as opposed to conditional. Now, I have spent, I think, 3 or 4 broadcasts supporting this understanding from the Scripture. I certainly have not exhausted all of the passages that talk about this. There are many more, but I think I've given a sufficient number to stimulate the thinking of anyone who wants to understand what the Bible teaches and is willing to search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. But there is, however, one more Scripture that I want to address. And that is the one in 1 Peter chapter 1 that talks about election in relation to foreknowledge. And this becomes the shelter, I guess you might say, for people who do not want to accept the doctrine of unconditional election. And here's how it is stated in 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." Now the question is, isn't Peter telling us that election is based upon God's foreknowledge, that is, God's knowing ahead of time what man would do? Foreknowledge, foreseen faith. God, who knows the end from the beginning, can see ahead of time who would believe upon Jesus Christ given that opportunity, and therefore God chooses based upon that. That's what this says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And so that becomes the refuge for those who object to the doctrine of unconditional election. Now, I've already showed you enough texts that teach the doctrine of unconditional election so clearly that it ought to give you pause when you come to this one and interpret it in the way that I have just suggested that some do. Friday, we went over that section in the middle of Romans chapter 9, verse by verse, verses 15 through 24. And if that doesn't lay it out clearly, plainly, unequivocally, I don't know how how words can be any plainer. If those words don't teach sovereign unconditional election, then words don't mean anything. However, what about this one? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, I am sympathetic, actually, to people who think that this explains election in terms of God choosing on the basis of foreseen faith, because there was a time when I believed exactly the same. That was what I had been taught. That's what I believed. That seemed to settle the issue for me and get around the difficulties that the doctrine of unconditional election always raises. And I will remember the first time that my concept of this verse was challenged. I was sitting in a classroom, and the teacher, the professor, was referring, he was teaching on the doctrine of election, and he came to this text, and this was the one that I think the majority of us in the classroom took refuge in. And he said, well, let's just look at this text for a moment. 1 Peter 1, 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He said, if foreknowledge means God foreseeing ahead of time what was in man, as it's often thought, what does it tell us that God foresaw? Does it say that he foresaw faith? It couldn't it just as easily have been that God foresaw who would be a redhead, and he chose all the redheads, or something like that. And that little comment, which really isn't very profound and certainly is not theologically astute, nevertheless caused me to recognize that this verse doesn't say that God chose on the basis of foreseen faith. It says elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, but it doesn't tell us what that foreknowledge was of or about. That's left unstated. And so, obviously, we have to supply something there. And my current theology caused me to supply the idea of foreseen faith, but that is not what the text states. And so, if this is the only verse I've got to base election upon foreseen faith, it's not a very strong verse because it doesn't say that, does it? And I remember that was the first time that there was this slight question mark, this slight doubt in my mind that maybe this is not what the Bible was teaching after all. I did come after a while to realize that it is not what it's teaching. And what I came to realize was that this word, foreknowledge, when it's used of God in the Bible, doesn't mean simply what he knew ahead of time, but it means what he purposed ahead of time. Now, when it's used of man, it does have that idea of knowing something ahead of time, because man is not God. Man is not sovereign. Man cannot purpose things which infallibly come to pass. And men certainly don't know everything, as God does. But what we need to realize is that the reason God knows everything about the future is because God has ordained everything about the future. Now, one reason we know that is simply by turning the page in the same chapter and seeing how that very same word is used in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And here's what it says. It says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, it turns out that that word foreordained is the same Greek word as the word foreknowledge in verse 2. And here it is in reference to Jesus Christ. You have to back up verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He, that is Christ, indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Isn't it interesting that the translators of the Bible that I have before me changed the English word from foreknown to foreordained? The Greek word is the same. The English word, very clearly in verse 20, does not mean knowing something ahead of time, but it means appointing something ahead of time. Christ wasn't simply foreknown by God before the foundation of the world. In other words, God didn't simply know what Christ was going to do, that he was going to come to earth, that he was going to live a sinless life, that he was going to die upon the cross, that he was going to rise again from the dead. God didn't just simply somehow know that ahead of time. God planned it all ahead of time. God ordained it all ahead of time. God appointed all of that ahead of time. I don't think any one of us would disagree with that or dispute that or doubt that. We know that's what it means. Christ's incarnation and sacrificial death and bodily resurrection were all pre-planned by God before the foundation of the world. Elsewhere, we're told that Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And here we are told that he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but, as the verse goes on to say, was manifest in these last times for you. The plan was all designed and made certain before the world was created, but it came to pass in time. Christ was actually manifested, made known in these last times for you, writes Peter. In other words, for believers. But foreordained before the foundation of the world. Does that simply mean that God knew ahead of time what would happen to Christ? Of course not. God purposed ahead of time what would happen to Christ. Now that is the word that is found in 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It could just as accurately be translated, as verse 20 makes very clear, without question, it could be accurately translated, elect according to the foreordination of God. Now that puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? When you translate it that way, and obviously that is not only a legitimate translation, but is the best translation in verse 20 of the same Greek word, when you put it that way, oh, that takes away the idea of foreseen faith to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreordination of God the Father. Well, I would submit to you, dear friends, that that is exactly what this means. Foreknown, when it speaks of God, means foreordained. God knew us ahead of time, not just simply knowing about us, but in that personal, intimate knowledge of making us his children. God foreordained that we, the elect ones that Peter is writing to here, would be his children. He purposed that in Christ before the foundation of the world. He ordained that to come to pass. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Our election is not based upon foreseen faith. Our election is based upon God's eternal purposes. That's what the doctrine of election actually means. That's what the Bible teaches about it. And if we are going to become established according to the fullness of the gospel that Paul reveals to us in the book of Romans, we're going to have to come to terms with this doctrine, and happily so. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.